Cooperate them in every way they want to. Thank you, dear. How old are you, honey?
11.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to say a little about the Rosetta Station, too. I called this boat, but I want to say a little about the Rosetta Station. And I think that they're risking their lives to help these people of Mississippi, because some of them are scared. We have people from all over the world, all over the United States, that have come down here to help us. Help us to risk that, and they're going to risk their lives too. Help us to keep us from being afraid, so when they leave, we'll know what the right thing to do, and we can take up for ourselves.
Thank you very much, dear. We appreciate you saying that to us. But we're not here just to help you. We're here to help ourselves too, because a country like Abraham Lincoln said can't be half slave and half free. Everybody has to have their freedom. And in order for the country to be good for all of us. And so we're here to help not only you, but ourselves. We're here to help everybody, ourselves and you, understand? We're not here to do any charity, because we're here to make a better country for our children and grandchildren to grow up into, see? We want everybody to love each other. If everybody loves each other, we have a better world to live in, see?
Anything else?
Yes.
You feel that we will someday be free in
the Mississippi? Don't you think so? Don't you think we're freer than we were even 6 months ago, honey? Don't
I
you
do.
Feel it? You feel there's a little difference, don't you? Even our being here is a difference. Go ahead.
Do you think that next year, when this free school has been a help to us?
Oh, I think that next year there's going to be an even better one, don't you think so? Because this will be, we are learning from this experience, aren't we? You're learning and we're learning. We're all learning from it. Don't you feel that? Next year we'll know a lot more than we knew this. So you want to say something, honey?
No, ma'am.
Okay, is that you, dear?
We had a dog, and then we got run in the street and tried to catch me in the car run down.
You did? Ran over your dog?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, honey. Did you get another dog?
No, ma'am.
Well, maybe we'll get another dog someday, huh? Anything else?
You guys?
You
can
take the song off of
that? Of course.
He likes to play songs.
Okay.
These are some of the things that I think should be provided for Mississippi. We should have better schools, better homes, police protection for our people and for the people who've come to help us and to help themselves. History books concerning Negroes, which are our own people, and Negro policemen, Negro governors, Negro senators, and also someday Negro president.
Wonderful. What a wonderful thing.
Well, I would like to say a little bit more. He would serve as a governor to us. He would help the people obey the law. Since the civil rights bill is passed, it is now a law. And if the people do not obey the law, he do not do nothing about it. If they tell the president, he do not do nothing about it. So neither one of them is our president nor our governor.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful statement. How old are you, dear?
11.
Anything else? Anybody else wants to say something? This is marvelous. You, dear?
God, and he made us all. about the Freedom Schools and everything that was on your mind. First.
My name is James Hicks, and my age is 10. And so the Freedom School, I think, is great. People like Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Reese, I think they're great, too. Because people that came down here from the north, they are here to help us. And I think we should give them their attention. Like in our class on the day, where the girls, they were acting up, they didn't pay attention. And because I was nominated, well, they didn't like it, but they still voted. If they voted for who they want, I don't think that's right, because if they go to Atlantic City with this young, the old Democratic Party just go ahead and be there. So they, when we go to Atlantic City, they're not going to be, they're just, they're going to be two parties, the Freedom Democratic Party and the old Democratic Party. And both going to be knocking on the door, but they're not going to let the one in. It's going to either be the Freedom Democratic Party or the old Democratic Party. And we hope it's going to be us because the people of Mississippi are not represented by the old Democratic Party. The Freedom Democratic Party represents the people of the state of Mississippi, the whole state of Mississippi, white, either color, any color in the state of Mississippi. The old Democratic Party, it represents the white man. But some white people, not all white people, they think it does. The white people that it represent are the rich, like Paul Johnson. It represents him. He's the chairman of it, the leader. People like Griffin, all these people around the state like this. Well, the poor white people, they're just as bad as the Negro. But if they spoke out for us, they'd be beat to death and killed. And we don't want this. And it's terrible. Like this policeman in Harlem. This policeman in Harlem. He killed this Negro. They claim it was on a self-defense. But everybody knew he was lying because we used to this. We used to being beaten up, turned around, kicked, and all stuff like this. I seen on television that they were picketing. And they all sat in this restaurant. So it was run by 12 white men. There was a group. They said it would be the Ku Klux Klan, but they were not sure. With the leader, he was the leader of, we don't think he's the Grand Wizard, but it's another leader. He had a cigar about so long, and he smoked it up to a certain end. He pulled the ash in the head. And this Negro, he just stood there and took it. And so this he had on glass. They pulled his glasses off. They smoked them up. Blend holes in it, filmed it, just because he couldn't see. And he took this. They didn't harm this color girl, and now this white girl, but they beat this color man and this white man up. And those three that are missing, the three missing trio. These men, they're dead, which are the color people, I believe. Which they are dead. I believe in myself that they're dead. But the white people, before, they're always talking about the heaven. But before you get to heaven, you got to live right here on earth in order to get to heaven. And one thing about the color people, everybody, they want freedom. Yeah, we want freedom real bad. And how? And I said, man, but one thing about the color got to get right with the color, and the fight got to get right with the fight. And before we go into argument, we got to get right with each other, and all that'll be safe. And not getting back to the Ku Klux Klan and the John Birch Society. I always think this God is not clear. They always talk about heaven. They think they're doing good deeds, like about the captain of the ship. About he held slaves in the bottom. He had sick twice a day. But he thought God was pleased. He said, God is not pleased at this because if God was pleased at this, God would tell him to let these slaves go and they would have equal rights. That's all the Negro want, the equal opportunity. We don't care about everything. We just want an equal opportunity. Our opportunity to work with equal pay, equal education. That's what we need more about, education. Because if we can't get education, we're out of luck. And we don't have the equipped book and things like that. Because I learned more about things here in Freedom School than I have in public school. And in our room in fourth grade, leaks and things like this. Now the white people, they take our tax. We pay them tax, which we have to, don't we lose our land. We pay them tax, all right? Now we have a university here in Nashville called Southern University. It was a college. And we have two colleges, but they're not for color, but for white. Carey College and the University of Southern Mississippi. These are for whites. All right? They take our money. Now they're gonna build a new building in a Oxford, it's in old, it's at Ole Miss on the campus. I saw it in the picture about Hattiesburg history. That it's gonna be so it costs about $80,000. And so they take all this money. It's going to be taken from our tax this year, next year, and years to come after that. Now, we have a country club is the baseball man. But the whites or the colored people, they should have took their morals, borrowed money, and cleared their land out. But the colored people that have money, they won't do this. They think they'll lose some by lending us money and that's it. But they better be trying to help because people like this are called Uncle Tom. And these are number Uncle Tom. I know some Uncle Tom right now. And they bust into the school and put on his office. You next Uncle Tom and what you're next because they study. And so we should have built a college or either an institute or something like that. We have many men here in Hattiesburg color. They're not rich, but they're coming close to it. They'll make money like Mr. Milton Barnes. Or people like that, they appreciate it. Because we appreciate it, we need their help badly. But if they just only cooperate just a little bit more and donate us money that they did to the Kennedy Memorial Library, well, we could build us a college because we had to go out of town. That cost out, plus our expense. We had to go to college and plus our expense to pay us our way to go there. And this costs money. And they don't realize how much money it costs because they're like different people. I know some little children now. They're going around and sticking their feet in the mud. The dress is poor and the houses, they look like the lady in the tramp. They let so many grass there that they just take a bulldog and just crush right into it because the lumber's no good and things like that. Well, these people could have better money if these colored people own a track. The colored people, one thing, they're not trying. They need to try hard enough. And children like me, I'm interested in the movement. And I've been with the movement ever since 62. And so I'm a keep trying. And so the children in our classroom, they say, yeah, I asked them, were they ready to watch the picket line? We ready to watch the picket line. Now I haven't seen one of them on the picket line. And one reason, I know because they're not a picket line going right now, but I know these children, they are called Uncle Tom. But I don't think they're old enough to understand what Uncle Tom means. And if they just join with the movement, they would understand everything. Because they don't know about the white man. The white man is a dirty person. And I have never seen a person live on earth as the white man. The white man is a traitor. I seen on African picture yesterday about the white man and the black man. This is in Africa. They talked about why don't they drive us from Africa. Well, we're not going back, but one thing about it, they still over there in Africa living. Now, why don't they come over from Africa and let us go back? Now, they want us to go back to Africa while they still there. They want us to have their way. But then, as long as I'm here, if everybody else around here, go back to Africa. I'm going to try to just knock me in the head. As long as I'm able. When they were walking people around the courthouse, my mother, she wouldn't let me walk because I had a cold. But I kept in the rain. I went over to Kofo both day and night trying to find afternoon. And I stayed over there almost around 10 o'clock that night. And I was intending to stay, I was listening. I took down some of the stuff like that. And so I'm interested in a senator or a congressman. I have interest in the Constitution, so when I go home sometime, I study. Even though I am a little bit young, but I'm dressed up on because all this I've been meeting in high school, senior high school, and also college. And the reason I want to be a senator or a congressman is because we're not getting equal opportunity. The laws up here are not... They're not for the white man, it's for the Negro. If we go uptown now, the only way we get the policemen out here right now, is to tell them I found a jug of whiskey out here, about 14 pints of jug of whiskey. And it's you. And if you call the police and tell them a murder out here, they just won't hide the car. Or when you call back here, I found these 4 pints of whiskey out here, they rush out here for you, bet your ass good. Now they sure we don't have no protection. And we discussed in class today about Uncle Tom. Well, Uncle Tom is a person, he's very scared. Anthony Harris, one of our fellow students, he'd been letting a delegate for our convention. And I was selected to assist him. Because I believe that Reverend Karen, Miss Santa Lou Hamer, and other people like her and him, and other people like that, I think they're trying to help us. Reverend Karen, I'm a member of his church. And he told us that he was threatened by a policeman in Hattiesburg, and they requested for his arrest. They went to police chief Hugh Heller. He's our police chief in Hattiesburg. He said he couldn't do nothing about it. He could have did a lot about it. He could have ordered this man's arrest. But he didn't try to, he didn't want to, or nothing like that. Now that's where we need protection. I'm too young to arrest him.
I want to take the position here.
I'm too young to register to vote, but I understand what it means. My father and mother both registered voters.
My mother, she went upstairs and traveled in. She turned it down. She turned it down two times. The second time, a third time she went up there, she registered. And so Lynn sent her a letter and told her to come back. And so my father, he also paid. And before a few years ago, we kept trying and trying. We weren't strong as we are now. But we're getting strong and strong every day because we have people here that are encouraging us to go up there and register to vote. I went as expense. I went out of canvassing with David and Reverend Burris from Dorwood. He's from Maryland. So I expense. We went out. We covered a lot of areas. So I expense how people. I know a lady. Her name is Josephine Scott. She says she raised Paul Johnson from a baby from the day he was born. She was the first person that ever put bread in his mouth, gave the water, anything like that. Now Paul Johnson. He should give this lady a reward. We don't want to let her be a queen. See, I guess she don't want to be a queen. But he could send her a donation every now and then because she's old and she can't get around left like she used to and things like that. This is very important. Our people, we have tended to the colored man, the white man, for years and years, and we're still tending to him. And I know a lady now. I can't think of the name, but she worked for one of the rich men here in town. She told my mother, I was listening. I was peeking, but I just happened to be passing through our hall. And so I was going through my bedroom to write a little story. See, I studied the Constitution. I write different things about the Capitol, things about presidents, and sort of things like that. So I happened to be thinking about it. And so I think about it. I say, so do people. Like Paul Johnson, Carol Gardner, people like this, treat our race like this. I just wanted this thing in my mind that sometimes, and also sometimes I wonder how come Adam and Eve had to eat out the tree of evil. And in Sunday school, I asked questions about, I asked our Sunday school teacher, if Adam and Eve hadn't ate out the tree, would there have been other people? I've thought about this many times, that if they hadn't ate out the tree of evil, and men, they had been created more than one man, I believe that we wouldn't have to die. Because I hate to die, but I'm not tired of living, but after you get interested in something, you hate to die. But I don't hate to die because I know one day I got to go. But while I'm trying to make good use of my life, while I'm trying to go to church, respect the Lord, the things I do and stuff like that. But the thing like that, they think that while I'm worshiping God, now, a little boy named James, we was in the street one day. We were going on to make some posters. So he said, yeah, I will get born going to that church. I said, who told you that? Your sister. And so I told him, I said, I'd rather get born in a church than in the street because you could get knocked off the street, beaten, booed, that thing like that. I remember he was a minister from the northern state. And he was beaten with a chain. He was tied up. And they said Star wants to throw him in the river. This man, he has went to the police and confessed that he has done this. And this shows we don't have no protection or nothing. The white man of the Ku Klux Klan, the John Birch Society, they're not after the Negro right now. Everybody knows that. They're after the white men here that are helping us, like Marilyn, Irene, or people like that, or David, even people like that. They want to beat them up, things like that. Let us those missing trio. Those two white boys, I know they're dead, but if the color boy not, the white people, those two white boys, they just got to be dead. If they're not dead, something is wrong because the white man, he hates the white man. They don't know. They just confused. They got to face it right with their own self. So we go to heaven. And God, like the song say, they both there black and white. Well, yeah, they are black and white, but I wonder how we're going to be treated that black and white. We're not going to be treated like we are here now because we just been treated like dogs, animals. We've been beaten, drugged. When I went to Detroit, the lady I was staying with, I was writing a report in Detroit about the scene. So she told the policeman there, one thing I'm mad about the policeman there, the Negro and the white children, they both give him a point. If you have one, if you living in a certain section or precinct where they will block the road off, and they and the police said they give you a special party. They'll buy the food and stuff like this. So, cause I heard my knee and I had a ball and my knee was just bleeding down, but I had a ball. And she said the policemen there were from the southern state and that they came up there to clear the white people out that the northern state have been born to. The white people, they're born in the northern state and they're reluctant to this. They love it. And when they come down here, they find love and affection. And some, they don't want to leave. But they know they go back because they don't want to be treated like a dog. They love the white people here. And the white people know it's the difference between them. The white people here, they don't hate us, I don't think. They just don't like what we're doing. We want freedom, and they know it, so they don't like it. And the northern people, they love us. They kiss us. I have had a white lady, just like Irene, to kiss me and hug me. And when I was on the train on my way to Detroit, my first experience I had with white people. I slept with them. I taught some different lesson I have learned and things like that. And one thing, I was really surprised that I had kept a white lady baby. And she went way back there in the dining car and ate. And she stayed almost all about 2 hours. I was just surprised. I wasn't scared, but I just understand. I said, how come white people in the South can't do this? The white people in the North are so friendly. They miss their misery. And down there, hey, nigga, what you doing? Tied out. They slap you, beat you around, and all things like that. I wrote Paul Johnson a letter. I told her, I said, Paul Johnson, I know I made him hot. I told him if they ever become a nigga, I let him know. And not a nigga, but a Negro, because a nigga is a person. He's just like an Uncle Tom. He don't care. He's responsible. He's scared. He's saying things like that. So I enjoy being a Negro. Sometimes I often think of about how come I wasn't a white man? How come I'm a Negro? But right now I find out that I'm glad I am a Negro instead of a white man. But God bless me in either way I go. But if I were a white man, I'd be glad of it also. But I'm more glad that I'm a Negro than anything else. Because you have the total responsibility of your race and things like that. And in order to be a good citizen in voting, the main one is voting, pay tax. I getting back to paying taxes. Now we don't have people here that are responsible for us. They asked us not to go out at night, but they still do it. But I don't go, I'll never go out, I don't know how to ever go out till our next door night because I know time is critical. We come from Jackson, we attend the Jackson meeting of the Freedom Democratic Party regularly and things like this in these lodges. So one night we came back from Jackson. We found about a gallon of rocks on our porch. And my windows were broken. And we know that it was some white boys. They had found our car. I told I was uptown. And I knew somebody was following me. So I knew somebody must have told them or found out something like that. And so when I came back, we went on next door. And time wasn't critical as it would now. And so we had asked Paul Johnson for help, and he couldn't help us. He said he couldn't help. That was his excuse. That was a lie he told. And so there were some white boys on a motorbike. They ran up and down the street saying, hey, nigga. So I picked up me a brick, and one of them came to the sidewalk there. He didn't get out the motorbike. He just said, it was about night, but I could see him. And I didn't want him to make one footstep in that yard, and he'd been a dead duck. So they just got on the bike and kept running up and down the street for about an hour. So we knew who it was, so we went to bed. The morning we cleared up, we carried the rocks off. And I have never been threatened, but I've been the children in my room. They don't like me. I tell you why. Because I'm a person, I believe in right. And because I'm going to hold them in their right, they don't like it. They just like the white man.
Let me ask you something, honey.
Sure.
Just a few things about you. So how old are you, darling?
10.
What grade?
The sixth. I was among the sixth.
The sixth grade. And what did your father do?
He worked for the railroad.
And your mother, she worked?
She's just a housewife.
And are they both interested in the movement?
Yes, very much.
And is that how you got so interested?
No, the reason I got so interested because lot of things, I was interested in the movement. Starting in 63, but in 62, what I mean.
But in 63, they made me just tell the children. I say, this pastor's this bombing in Birmingham. This bombing in Birmingham.
Where those little kids were hurting the church.
That's what made me think about it even more. Because I know that could have been my life. And so I'd rather get killed trying to do it, not trying to do it. Because I know this has been on my conscience when I done, so I don't want this in my conscience. So I started going to freedom school and things like that.
Have you gotten something from freedom school? Has it enriched you any? Because you are a very intelligent boy with a great deal of leadership, and you're going to be a senator or congressman someday. I'm confident of it. Have we given you anything here? We hope that we've given you as much as we've learned from you, or at least partly.
No, you give me very much. You gave me an opportunity of learning, education, how to treat other people, because someday I might go off and meet somewhere else, and I will know how to treat them. And I know how to maybe eat correctly or talk correctly, because people in our state, they'll make a fool out of you listen. So, this you taught me a leadership. You taught me how to be a good citizen. You taught me about my fellow race. Because in school, we don't have nothing about Negro history, just the white man. Only thing we do have is about the white man, how he was treating the Negro, and that was all. We didn't get much of that. So I think this is very interesting. So I tried to go to freedom school and learn as much as I can, and then I'm participating in the second semester. If freedom school is great, it's something. It's an opportunity for the Negro, because it's especially for the Negro too, and it's an opportunity for the grown-ups and adults, because those that didn't have a chance to write, learn, read, write, or something like that, they have the chance now. And now, they don't have no excuse, because the freedom school, they give them an opportunity to learn, read, and write, and if they don't go, I feel they don't have no excuse, because they could have went. Only excuse they have is working. And if I was an adult age of 21 and I had to work and couldn't go to freedom school and couldn't read or nothing like that, I tell you, I'd hate to do it quick. You'd be breaking, it's not right to tell a lie, but I have to tell at least one lie a week. I say my stomach was hurting or something like this. It's just to go to freedom school to learn, like Frederick Douglass. He learned how to read and write. And so he learned that this white lady, she was teaching her child how to read and write. And so I think this is a great. She didn't even know it, her husband didn't even know it. He had bought Frederick Douglass. And so this was an opportunity for Frederick Douglass to help his race. God gave it to him. And so God gave it to him. God, I know God gave it to me. And so now I'm going to try to do my best, and I don't have no excuse. And this is not
what I want to say. Whatever you want, do you want to say something, dear?
Yeah, I'd like to say something something that happened when you take a name.
Yeah, well, tell me your name and age.
My name is James Earth. I'm 12 years old.
Go ahead.
And I went... One Saturday morning, I went on the picket line with my brother and another friend. And we marched around about 15 minutes, and then police came up and asked us our name and our age and told us to get into the police car. And we got in, and we rolled around. He said he's going to put the dogs on, and the kids in jail. I didn't get afraid until he stopped at the police, at the city jail, and I thought he was going to put us in jail. But he didn't, and he took us around to the county jail, and we went up through the juvenile office, and the juvenile officer wasn't there, and the policeman made us sit on the floor. Then about 10 or 15 minutes, then the juvenile officer came in, and then he told the policeman to leave, and we started talking, and he said, "It's against the law to protest." I said, "It's not, because in the United States Constitution, we have a right to protest." He said, "It's not." He said, then he showed me a little white law book. He said, "This is the book we abide by." I said, "I don't abide by the little white book. I abide by the United States Constitution." Then about then, my mother came in, and we left.
Well, what does your father do, honey?
He was a head police.
And your mother?
She doesn't know.
Are they both in the freedom movement?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Can I say something? I thought you said it. You said about this little white law book.
Yeah.
This little white law book, I think I can tell you what this is. This is their law. It's not the Constitution of the United States law. It's their law that they made up.
the bad circus beat Negroes when they come peace along, they just make up excuses at last, say that they didn't come along peaceful, that they tried to escape or something back there. Mm-hmm. But this is just their way of talking about their law. Cause I think I've seen this law before, and I should have. I think it's small.
Can we have some Anthony now? Do you want to say, or you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I remember one day I was in the picket line, and the police saw they came. We had walked about 3 minutes, and the police came up there. They said that we had the white ministers on there, and the ministers. And that's the very welcome. And we had this thing to get in, they get in two. And then police drove up, made us get out the line. And they threatened us in the mission. And they made us get out and let the rest of us stay in over 18. Let them over 18 stay in there. And 18, I think so, yeah, 18, they made us get out. So they asked us, and one man was supposed to, as we walked out, he asked us, so he told us all. He said, your mama told you to come up here, please. He said, your mama told you to come up here. I told him no. He said, he was supposed to run away. He said, I don't want you to die next. He said, run away next. He said, no, he told me, he said, the air and the white man together. So he took me out and said, I said, we were running there, so I started laughing. And he crossed
it. What's the other
story? He said that the police said that your mother sent him up there. He asked me if my mother knew that I was up there.
What's he say?
I told him, I was up
there.
After he told something, I had a group of us went back up there, because he said, there's not age limit on folk
testing.
As long as you got legs and feet, you can walk.
Okay, so
What made you come out here?
My daughter said to me, Mommy, she said, you're a grandmother now. Wouldn't it be nice if you just go home and tell your children, love your bedtime stories, you love your Dr. Seuss stories, you know? Now they tell me, they gave me the Dr. Seuss Grandmother Award of the Year. And she said, well, you could tell them bedtime stories, you could go out, babysit, people take it easy in your older years. So I said, Bonnie, wouldn't I be a greater service to my grandchildren if on May 21, that Jim Crow would just be a word in the history books and people would have to look it up in the dictionary to find out what it is? And she said, yes, Mom, that's a greater service to your grandchildren. Isn't that a good enough reason? And another thing, honey, that we didn't come here to help you. We came to help ourselves. Because the oppressed and the oppressors are bound by the same chains. You understand that? And that the people who oppress others are hurt even more than those who oppress, because their souls are destroyed. At least you can keep your soul, can't you? But if I torture you, I destroy my own soul. I destroy my own humanity, do you see? So that the white man, you have maintained your dignity as a man. But the southern whites have not maintained their dignity because they have been destroyed, do you understand? And so I cannot stand to live in a world in which you are oppressed. Because, and I am the oppressor, because we're bound by the same chain. And therefore, I must come and help break those chains. Well, if part of my color oppresses you, then I too am guilty. You know, I'm a Jew, and during the last war, Hitler killed 6 million of my people. And I have never forgiven those Germans who let my people go to the gas chambers and never cried out, never set their necks out to help them. If I can condemn the Germans for having done that, how can I justify my own being quiet while you are being threatened and beaten of me? Can I justify it? I can't, can I? So if I have to blame the Germans for not saving my people, I have to blame myself for not trying to help you.
It's for, if you want to came out here, would this have put a question in your mind about that you feel that would this be on your, because I mean, would this be on your conscience, would it put a question in your mind that you feel like you just got to go and want to go and just refuse to go? Would this put a question in your mind?
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't I be a lesser person?
Yes,
ma'am. You think I'd be a lesser person if I didn't go? I was afraid to come down here, honey. I had a fight with myself to get up the courage to come down. I was afraid not only, less of getting killed and of getting beaten over the head or maybe get feeble-minded or getting bombed like that little girl in Birmingham and losing my eyes and being dependent on people for the rest of my life because I'm crippled or blind. I knew that. But you take these chances every day. How could I justify it to myself? You take this chance every day of your life. I can take this chance and maybe not break the Jim Crow, the back of Jim Crow here. I feel that if you break the back of Jim Crow in Mississippi, we've broken it in the country, more or less.
Is this same problem in San Francisco about, what I mean is the law of registering to vote. Is it that
law? No, it's not the same as registering. Those laws, actually the civil rights law doesn't give us very much. Our problem is jobs for Negroes. And the right of Negroes to live in every place they want. So they're still living in Fillmore, the ghetto, for instance. We have to fight for the right of Negroes to live any place they want. And we have to fight for the right of Negroes to get jobs and not be the last hire in the first fire. Do you understand? That's our problem now. And that's why we have 600 kids that went to jail not long ago. You know about that? Yeah, but they won a great deal. They won many jobs for Negroes through their struggle. So then who am I going to jail?
Do you live in an integrated neighborhood?
Yes. My neighborhood? It's not really as integrated as it should be. They're just beginning to be slowly integrated. Very few of them are integrated yet.
Do you know if
there's
a Negro people that live in the neighborhood that
may
be close to?
Yes, there are people that, there are some neighborhoods that are becoming integrated. Neighborhoods that even when I came to San Francisco were all white. So we are making progress, but not quickly enough. Or the young people, thank heaven, are coming forward like you, and they're carrying the main burden of the struggle. Anything else? Is anything else?
If you were a Southern white person and you were still a Jew, then would you feel this way? Do you think that you would feel this way about how you feel about
me? I'm afraid that if I'd be like Rabbi Lilly, though, when he was beaten, you know, here. He said, I know there are many Jews down here that don't agree with this, and yet they keep quiet because they're scared. He said, if I were a Jew down here and I had to keep quiet because I was scared, I would in good conscience leave Mississippi. If you can't speak up, then you better leave. Understand? But any man who makes his peace with this destroys himself. You understand what I mean, dear? If you try to live and make your peace with injustice, you destroy yourself. You destroy your soul. You don't destroy the person who you are oppressing. You destroy yourself. The person who treats you unjustly isn't hurting you as much as he's hurting himself. Because you're still a man and a woman and you've got dignity. He has no dignity when he does that. Right? He can't justify it to himself. Anything else? I'll just go eat now.
Give me a name and just come out, darling.
I like the story about Negro history. When I learned most of that Negro history about Harriet Tubman, when she made the Underground Railroad, it wasn't really underground. It just was, they said that because they always moved undercover, going from house to house. And sometimes when they come to house, somebody's house, they turn them down. I said the most about Frederick Douglass, and he learned to read and write, and Sojourner Truth. She was brave and courage, but Harriet Tubman, she believed in going in action. So she had took about 200-300 slaves with her, and when she went on the way, some of them got scared. She said, if you're gonna turn back, you just die right now. So they just moved on from house to house till they got up in Canada where they was going from the south, because most of these slaves was in the south. And some of these houses, they had slave masters, so they had to join. And when they got, there weren't no slaves in Canada. Most weren't no hardly not in North, but there was quite a few up there. And the joint truth, I miss the Carrot Tupman, it just moved on up in Canada, where there weren't any slaves at all.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to tell me out of your own experience, sweetheart? Anything?
Well, I think...
I think I'm going to take my tape recorder and play it.
When we go home tonight, write, tell us, write on a piece of paper what we think should happen in Mississippi. And I was going to write, I think we should have, we're going to have better jobs and get a better education. And I think I could maybe get a better education. 8 miles
down
Freedom
Street.
Thank you,
sweetheart.
Thank you very much.
I don't know.
I took him down.
And just
who? Who took him back? Where is that?
Oh.
Not that.
8 years old.
Now, what have you got to say, honey? Is there anything you should like to tell me
about your experience? I like Freedom School.
I like school, and I want to go down to vote. What do you think you'd like to get by voting, sweetheart? What is the value of the vote to you? What do you hope to get ahead of this? It's just free. Well, what would you like to have in Hattiesburg we don't have now?
New schools and
what else, honey?
I can't remember that.
What do you think?
This one, and
he knows his secret. He knows what he wants. They don't smirk. He knows what he wants, but he isn't as used to words as you are. That doesn't mean that he doesn't know just as well as you do. You know what you want, sweetheart. You just take your time and look there.
Get new housing and all that.
How about a nice park and playground to play? And I don't see a decent park where you can rent in our area. Is there a decent park in this area where you can rest?
No.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah,
for the white people only?
We used to go there, but they stopped us.
They were taking shots there. I was school, and they told us to go to campus park and
do it. But otherwise, we have no playground at home. Isn't that very important to have? For instance, if you were a congressman, wouldn't you ask for that? What else, sweetheart? You know what you want.
New housing, new
air conditioning. The question of living in these little hot places, right? Are you smirking, Jimmy?
No.
Okay. Go ahead, sweetheart. You're all right. You're just not as used to words as Jimmy is. That's all. You want air conditioning in your house. That's a doggone good thing.
That's how he is. Air conditioning rooms and
more rooms, so you won't be so crowded, right? Your own bedroom. Wouldn't you like your own bedroom? Yeah, your own room is to get away from the rest of the family. Isn't that so? Isn't that so?
It's something that they'll never believe in, and then they're possible hope of getting their vote, and they're old enough too. They're right age, they're over age, they're right age, but they say they want to.
Honey, you're the one who said, well, you folks are going back north, and we'll be
yes,
and we'll be left alone.
Yes, ma'am. See, you know, these people, they acting nice while I'm here now, but where do they go back? I told him, where do they go back? Oh, there's going to be a lot of beating and stuff around here.
It's going to be a war.
Yeah, and all that junk. And I told him that, and she said, why don't you tell him? She got the mayor's meeting back there. say, she say, people, but I think it's to say, some people that ain't scared around here. And then one boy said, if they were so brave, why don't they get on the ticket list? And I said, that's right. She didn't say nothing. She didn't say nothing about that. And she told us that when she said we could fight it. Now, she said some people, she said now it's about 6 states that are already volunteered and said they're willing to help those Mississippi Negroes, you know, become better people and all that. She said in 6 states, she said Michigan, she said the state where she lived and she said, and it have Michigan and have good voting power and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they vote on a machine, so they don't even know the vote. Well, I think, honey, that we're not going to get you here in Mississippi. We're going back and try to encourage other people to come down here and keep people here all the time and keep the freedom schools going, see. We hope to. We don't want to just vote you down here, huh?
That's what I mean.
If
y'all keep going
here,
I will go to public school.
You
want? That's
what I mean.
When you all leave, now you say you are going back to the places where you live and encourage people to come back down here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But when you all leave to go and encourage them, well, we're going to fall back because we need somebody down here to push us, keep us going, and you all have been pushing us so far. So we've been stronger, we've been stronger than we ever have been. And when you go back, we go back here like it wasn't 62.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, look at it's going to... See, the Negroes from Hattiesburg, they got to get somebody to keep pushing on them, keep making them.
Well,
go.
Don't you think they got their own leadership?
Don't you consider yourself that they
have enough leadership, for
instance, if you were grown? Why should I keep encouraging them? But with our feet, you all down here, they be beating on you all too, and the Negro gonna be the only one get beaten on, so they ain't got that to worry about. So, you know, like you say, well, you don't think it's possible, but I think it's possible because the white man, he just waits for the day he missed. See, you know, coming from here and there over to the corporal office. It's a job. You know, you're walking, you have to go through town, you have to pass the police station if you're going that way, the front street. So if they miss you any day, well, then they're probably sick. They come around patrolling around this area, and they're probably sick if you're going back. Then when we go uptown in nighttime, that's when some of us go. We go, you know, window shopping in the nighttime, so that's when we'll be getting beat up. And then when we go back to Washington Picket Line, we get pulled off, but this time it'll be a little worse. So I think we'll be hit by cars and stuff like that. That's when I think, because I've been living here for 10 straight years. I've had more sense than any of you all, and you all have had more sense than me and where you live. And so I know about it, so I'm quite sure that it's going to go back. It's going to be a quite war around here. Yeah. That means...
Yeah, I feel that, kids, huh?
We kids, we're not dumb because we know how we're being treated. And we kids, we realize we try not act like a fool, but some of they just can't resist it. They're going to act like a fool.
Well, we hope to be able to stir up enough sentiment in the North against this sort of thing so that Mississippi will not dare to go on as it has been in the past. You have a civil rights law, for instance, for one thing.
Oh, that civil rights law, it gives us the privilege to go to restaurants, hotels. They closed down the Robert E. Lee Hotel in Jackson because they didn't want no...
Well, how about the Crest and Woolworths and how about the other...
Anthony, his brother, James Harris, him and one of my friends, Bobby, they went to, someone just called him Bobby, but his name is Billy Earl. Mm-hmm. And so, they went to Crest and Woolworths. They said they got them banana split and Coca-Cola. And our teacher, Madeline, she told us that a colored man went to the restaurant. Excuse me, and the waitress was behind the counter. So he pointed at whatever he wanted to. Whenever he wanted to come, they probably sang and tell her to come now. He went. He looked like he made it. He wasn't shy, but he just did like the problem with white people do. They try to be so smart. So he just started doing it too. And some said he was doing for publicity, which I think he was also.
And so I'm planning on going to Christmas Thursday because I got to go to town because I get paid off. And I plan on dropping back to SMC. But the truth, they were talking about the Rebel Theater. I don't think that, I think we can go there in a way I don't, because if we go there, we might get kicked out of beating it. So I'm sort of afraid, back when you all came down here, you all were afraid, but I'm afraid too, but if someone go with me, I'll still be afraid, but I won't have much fear, because our pastor say, if you go by yourself, you won't have nothing but fear in your heart. But if someone go with you, you won't have as much fear as you
do. Yeah, that's true, Jimmy. I was interested in what you said about the way that boy treated the waitress. He tried to treat her like the white man treated her, you know. He popped his fingers or whatever it is. But it isn't necessary for the Negro man to be as discourteous as a white man toward a waitress. She's a working woman, right?
Mm-hmm. So he can be courteous, understand?
Mm-hmm. We told about how you went to meet him, Cressy.
We had to go to town with my sister, and we went in Cressy. And I brought a Coca-Cola, me and my friend. And we sit down, and the police was just looking at us, and our white folks, as they were passing by. And I didn't pay them any attention. I just kept on drinking my Coca-Cola. And when we got up, all the folks were just looking, and I was kind of nervous when I first sit down. And I didn't, because it was my first time eating, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what to think.
All right. What's your name, dear?
Hey, Rayhan.
All right, what have you got to tell?
About the Negroes. The Negroes used to have to go down to the back, but now they could go to the front and to the bus station, they could go to the front.
Isn't that nice? Anybody else have anything to say?
I do.
Go ahead, tell me your name, dear, and tell me what you have to say.
My name is Daphne Vaughn, and my friend...
How old are you, honey?
I am 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, Shirley Funchesville, she wanted to go to the bathroom one day, and so we went in Woolworths. There was two white women in there, with two white women. They came in there, and when they saw that there was four of us, so we went in there, and when they saw that there were four Negroes in there, they turned around and went out.
Oh, they never lose that.
Well, what did you say?
It's a real American speech.
Well, I thought that they didn't want us to use their bathroom.
Did you care?
No, ma'am.
Let them go out there. It's their hard luck.
No, ma'am.
And when we went out, they came back in.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get over it, won't they? They have to go to the toilet there enough. They'll go anyway. Just a minute. How old are you?
Oh, my name is Rosemary, and you're 11 years old.
Tell us something.
We was coming back from Morgan Lee one day.
Chang Day
one day. Here's the white boy. He was in the women. He said,
he took the whole thing about an hour.
Yeah, well, you niggas gone. I said, all of us look back and, we kept walking. And then we looked back again. He kept looking at the women and said, where are you niggas going? We and going down the bank and said, all right, if we going home, it ain't none of your business. Where we going?
What's your name, darling, and how old are you?
Carolyn Jones, and I am 11 years old.
Go ahead, sweetie.
One day we was coming home from Freedom School, and we went in Preacher Store, and we sang We Shall Overcome, and we was high, and we asked him for a cigar box, and he said he didn't have none, and he did have one, and Dad didn't want to give us now, and so we came out of the store, and all them people were looking at us.
Yeah, okay. What's your name, dear?
Jeff and Dwight Dean.
How old are you, honey?
Two.
Tell me your story.
Yeah, my sister's down the way to Jackson. So they went in the bathroom, in the fight bathroom. And so the film station man, he went and locked the door. And they had to wait till he unlocked the door.
Oh, boy. I'm going to tape a class, and then when we come out of class, all the kids want to get on tape again, so we're all gathering outside. Everybody has anything to say is going to get it off this trip.
We're not going to have regular
I'm going to have our...
Mississippi, on the house, he's been pulling out to let government down, saying, what's that doing?